Okay. I'd like to talk tonight really briefly, a brief survey of some points in a major sugya that probably everybody's a little bit familiar with, comes up very often. That's the sugya of mitzvah srichas kavana. We know there are a couple of famous passages that the Gemara has about this. This is the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, in Daf Koches, and the Gemara in Psachim, and Daf Kuf Yudalad, and the Beis. And the Gemara presents us with both possibilities, and with a machlokas, and it's a little unclear how we come out as far as Psak is concerned. There are a number of chilukim that are suggested. So we'll touch briefly on a lot of these points. The Gemara first raises the case of somebody who is forced to eat matzah. And there the Gemara says in the name of Rav Ashi that that works. If you're forced to eat matzah, so you're still yotze matzah. And then Rava says that that implies that the same would be true about tkiyah shofar, that if somebody were to blow a shofar on Rosh Hashanah, but his purpose was to make music, so that would also be acceptable. That would also be a way of being yotzei shofar, because presumably mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavanah then. Presumably what you're saying is that you don't have to have intent to fulfill a mitzvah. So then the Gemara seems to suggest, well, yeah, that's obvious. Clearly it seems to be the same case. Both cases are situations where you are fulfilling a mitzvah without intent, so what's the difference? So the Gemara suggests what in theory could be the difference, and again this is something that may turn up even on a level of Maisa. In theory the difference could be that when it comes to matzah, so the Torah says, eat it, and you're eating it. Even though you're being forced to eat it, the fact is you're still eating it. But when it comes to shofar, so the Torah uses the phrase zichron trua, that there should be some remembrance, there should be some apparently awareness, some consciousness of blowing shofar, and it could be that under the circumstance, even though you're blowing shofar, you don't have it. So that's the havamina for a distinction, and doesn't necessarily impact on the Psak and the Gemara, but that distinction may emerge in different forms when the Achronim get their hands on the sugya. And we'll get into this more, but it's going to come up a lot, so we'll mention now that the Rambam splits the Psak on this topic. The Rambam paskins both ways. That in Hilchos Matzah and Perek Vav Halacha Gimel, so the Rambam rules that if you eat matzah without kavana, you are yotzei. And in Hilchos Shofar and Perek Beis Halacha Dalet, he seems to not paskin that way, where he says that in order for someone to be yotzei shofar, so there is a need for the one blowing the shofar and the one hearing the shofar to both have kavana to accomplish that purpose. Now, it's not exactly the same thing as Tekei Lashir, which is already something that we'll have to come back to. And in general, we'll come back to the Rambam later, but since it comes up in a lot of points, we might as well mention now that he seems to be taking different approaches to the different examples that we have. So one question that's asked by Achronim in looking at the sugya is if we talk about mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana, let's work from that perspective for a moment. So to say that mitzvahs don't need kavana in order to be fulfilled. So what are we saying? On the one hand, we could be saying that a mitzvah is fulfilled through the action, and that the intent that would come with it is not necessary. You could have a mitzvah without having the intent. In other words, very straight translation of the word. Mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana. You don't need kavana for a mitzvah. A mitzvah is very often just an action, and the kavana is not necessary. Alternatively, you could take a different approach, and as we'll see in a second, this involves borrowing terminology from Kudshim. That it could be that the issue is not that you don't need kavana, but maybe you do need kavana for mitzvahs, but we can presume that kavana is there. That under normal circumstances, there is inherent kavana in the action. And the phrase that we find, again, is not used in this context, and the Gemara is used in the context of Kudshim, and we'll talk about whether or not that's an appropriate usage, but the phrase you find in the very beginning of Zvachim in that context is stama lishma, that there's no other qualifying factors, so maybe we can assume that the mitzvah is presumably including the proper kavana. Hi? Right? So it's clearly, there's clearly a number of differences between matzah and shofar. That's for sure truth that we'll have to get into. But first of all, just in general, if one presumes that you can fulfill a mitzvah without kavana, so what exactly is that suggesting? And then the details of each case we'll have to figure out. But assuming that you can fulfill a mitzvah without kavana, so does that suggest that you don't need kavana at all? Kavana doesn't play a role? Or maybe it's not about that. Maybe kavana does play a role, but maybe the kavana is inherent, and maybe that is somewhat akin to the expression we find in Ben Kachim of stama lishma. In general, Poskim have suggested applying that phrase to mitzvahs as a whole. Perhaps most prominent among this discussion, the Noida Behuda, in a tshuva in Madura Kama Yerideya Tzadi Gimel, the very famous tshuva, because it's part of a major controversy. The Noida Behuda, you may be aware, was a major misnagid, was very much opposed to Hasidus. And one of the practices of Hasidus that he found to be particularly objectionable was the practice of saying a shem yichud, to say before you perform the mitzvah that you're doing this mitzvah, the shem yichud kutshabrichud, that you're doing it with announcing these intents. So the Noida Behuda felt that that undermines the whole notion that we have of stama lishma, which he felt applies to mitzvahs as well, that the mitzvah on its own, you can have a presumption that it's done l'shem yichud kutshabrichud, and for someone to recite a formula beforehand making that statement seems to be announcing to the world that we don't believe in such an inherent stama lishma. The Noida Behuda was opposed to this, and again, this was a historical context to it. This was part of his opposition to Hasidic practices, and if you look in the tshuva, you'll see he has some choice words there as to how he relates to the concept, which we won't repeat now. Yes? I think it's the same idea. Yeah, I think it's a similar concept. But the idea of feeling you have to declare your intent beforehand, and it's not obvious, that it's not presumed, so that was what he was objecting to. So this notion, right off the bat, one of the major issues that comes up that would seem to be affected by this is the issue of negative kavana. There is a whole host of Rishonim who seem to believe that such a thing exists. Taisus Rabbeinu Yonah, I'm going to say the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachos, and the Ra'ah, many, many Rishonim seem to believe in this notion, that even lamanda amar mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana, right? Even if we say that mitzvahs don't need kavana, nonetheless, if you have negative kavana, if you say you are not interested in fulfilling a mitzvah, so then many Rishonim believe the mitzvah is not fulfilled. And of course, you don't have to be anti-religious to have such kavana. You could have such kavana for many reasons. You're in a situation where the mitzvah is not ideal, or any other similar reason. Many Rishonim discussed it in that context, and this is a context we're familiar with in practice. For example, with a lulav, you pick up the lulav, and you're not ready to do everything behidr yet, you're not ready to do everything properly, but the Gemara does say that the mitzvah is fulfilled immediately by picking it up. So there Rishonim discussed having kavana not to fulfill the mitzvah. We have a practice of turning it upside down, turning the esrog upside down, but that's more of an action. But even without that, Rishonim discussed, Rishonim on Daf Lamites and Sukkah, Tosfos and the Rush, discussed this idea of having negative kavana. And there is a presumption among many Rishonim that such a thing works. Negative kavana works to make you not fulfill a mitzvah. On the other hand, there are other Rishonim who disagreed. Beis Yosef quotes the Ohel Moed. I think if I remember correctly, the Ritva in his Perush to Rosh Hashanah says this as well. The Rishonim. But the Ritva, I think, says this also, that the phrase is afilu omed v'tzeveach, that even if somebody is standing and screaming, I don't want to fulfill the mitzvah, nothing you can do about it. If you're doing everything else right, the mitzvah is fulfilled. So this is an issue in Rishonim, and one could suggest that this flows right out of the previous question, that if the issue is that mitzvahs simply don't need kavanah, that there's just not a requirement for kavanah when we talk about mitzvahs. Of course, is all the manda amr mitzvah saint shrifas kavanah, but if that's the case, the mitzvah saint shrifas kavanah, if that means that mitzvahs just don't need kavanah, so then it could be like the second opinion, that even if you're saying you're not interested in fulfilling the mitzvah, it's just not up to you. If you're doing the mitzvah kitikuna, then the mitzvah is fulfilled. However, if the story is that mitzvahs really do need kavanah, but when somebody does a mitzvah, so presumably there is kavanah, there is an inherent stama lishma, so then one might say, well, yes, that's true normally. But if you are saying that you don't have kavana, So then it might be a different story. The Tereyevin and others point out that this Gemara in Erevin that seems to be against the whole negative Kavanah idea. Because the Gemara talks about finding tefillin. The parak is called the Motzi Tefillin. The Gemara talks about you want to put the tefillin on your head and you want to not violate Baal Tosef when you're holding it, when you're wearing it. So the Gemara talks about the question of whether or not mitzvah srichas kavanah in that context. And you could say, well, if you want the mitzvah to need kavanah, so that you will not violate Baal Tosef, why do we have to come on to that? Why don't we just say, have negative kavanah? And you won't violate Baal Tosef that way. So that's a question that Achronim raised with Sternbach in his Sefer in Modim Zmanim, suggests the Gemara there is only trying to tell you what constitutes a Maisa Mitzvah, because that's what's going to get you in trouble as far as Baal Tosef, doing an extra Maisa Mitzvah. So then the issue is, can you have a Maisa Mitzvah without Kavanah? So if that's the case, so then negative Kavanah is not really going to help. The issue is just to define what's called a Maisa Mitzvah. That's a side point. But in any case, this does seem to make a statement about the Stumble Lishma question, that maybe the issue is that there's presumably Kavanah in the mitzvah, and if you come and say you're not interested, so then that cancels out the Kavanah according to those Rishonim who understand that that's a possibility. In general, again, we'll have to give a little more attention to this in a few minutes. So again, with the context in the Gemara, when we talk about Stumble Lishma is by Karbanos, and it's about having the Kavanah Lishma for a Korban. And here we're making a big presumption in this whole discussion that Lishma and Kavanah are the same thing, which is very debatable, and we'll come back to that. But let's presume for a second that that's the case. So within Stam Lishma, there's also what to be choker, there's also what to try to figure out what that means, and whether that means that the situation contains within it some presumption of Lishma, or in that case of the Gemara, where we're talking about Karbanos, that the Karbanos have within them some presumption of Lishma, when there isn't something external that is canceling it. Or does it have to do with the individual, that an individual who's performing this action can be presumed to be doing it for the proper reasons. So that makes a difference also, to look at it from each angle. If one assumes that the mitzvah itself contains within it the Lishma, the Karban itself contains within the Lishma, the mitzvah contains within the Lishma. So I might say, I think Derech HaTopol, this would make some sense, that maybe we should be mechalik between mitzvahs d'oraisa and mitzvahs d'rabbanim. That there is a popular view in Achronim that not everyone agrees with, but we've discussed many times in the past, many do agree with this, that there is a popular view in Achronim that mitzvahs d'oraisa, or isurim d'oraisa, are dinim in the chetze. The chetze itself contains within it the elements of Isra, the elements of mitzvah, inherent in the object, because God made the world and God wrote the Torah, so God created items in this way. While mitzvahs d'rabbanan are not inherent in the object, or yisurim d'rabbanan are not inherent in the object, but rather they are instructions to the individual to behave in a certain way. So one might say that maybe we could distinguish between d'oraisas and d'rabbanans, that d'oraisas have inherent lishma or inherent kavanah in them, and wouldn't need you to actively put kavanah there. While drabbanans, which are all about how you relate to them, there's nothing inherent in the object, so in the mitzvah drabbanan, maybe we would have an extra need for kavanah. The problem is, you're more likely to find the opposite in poskim. The more famous position that's quoted, the Magen Avraham quotes the Rabbaz, who says just the opposite. And perhaps he's moved to say this because he feels the whole issue is a sopik lahalacha to some degree, but the Rabbaz rules, and the Magen Avraham quotes, just the opposite of what we just said, that the Raisas do need kavanah, and by Durabanan, so they don't need Kavanah. Achronim asked that the Gemara brings up the Kavanah issue in Psachim in the context of Marer, and Marer b'zman hazeh we assume is Durabanan, even though Minat Torah is Durais b'zman hazeh, we assume is Durabanan. So that's something you have to work out, but this is the more famous distinction. So that's just the opposite of what I just said. However, in defense of what I just said, I did find in the Stechemed in one place, the Stechemed quotes from the Shut Ramatz, distinction the way we said it, that the Raisas don't need Kavanah and the Rabbanans do, and it doesn't explain why, so maybe it's like we said, that maybe when it comes to the Raisas, there's something inherent in the situation, while the Rabbanans are all directed towards the individual, and there isn't, and there's a greater need for you to insert your Kavanah into the situation. Hi?
I think the individual could be the opposite.
Interesting point. Okay. Could be. Possible. But also to look at this other possibility, if we assume that it's not in the situation, but it's in the individual, that the individual who's going through this, again, borrowing the situation from Stama Lishma, and if we assume that that's about what you're doing, and the presumption is that you're doing things Lishma, so then there might be room to explain a different chiluk that we find in Poskim, another one of the very popular distinctions that the famous one that the Rabbaz quotes, that the Magen Avraham quotes. Besides that, another famous distinction the Poskim have is the issue of mitzvahs that have an action and mitzvahs that are just speech related. And that the Magen Mishnah suggests in the Rambam Stira. And again, one could say that the groundwork was laid for this by the Gemara. The Gemara that said, well, when it comes to matzah, so the Torah says, eat, and you ate. Right, Rashi there quotes the Gemara increases the principle that when it comes to chalavim and arayas, so you are chayiv even if you're misasik, because there is a hana there automatically. But you don't even have to come on to that. The Gemara is just saying the Torah uses the word eat, and you're eating, so in the end of the day it's there. But when it comes to a speech-oriented mitzvah, it could be that this is more supposed to be a reflection of what you're thinking. And if you're not thinking it, then maybe it's not there. So that, and again, the Gemara making this distinction between Achila and Zichron Shrua was kind of laying the groundwork for that. Rabbi Warman Shlita in his Sefer Sheres Yosef has a discussion of this Dumbel Lishma possibility. And he wants to suggest a different approach dealing with the Rambam's distinction between matzah and shofar. And he wants to say that maybe the issue is whether a mitzvah is chiyuvis or kiyumis. That maybe we can presume there to be kavana when somebody's going to have to do what he's doing. But if it's not necessarily going to happen, that there has to be this situation, so then maybe we can presume the kavana. So when it comes to matzah, so everyone's got to eat their own piece of matzah Pesach night, so we can presume that he's going to have kavanah to do that. But when it comes to being motzi someone else in shofar, or when it comes to somebody blowing shofar on behalf of somebody else, so he doesn't have to do that, he doesn't have to be performed in that particular way. So therefore, maybe one could suggest that therefore there wouldn't be a automatic presumption of kavanah. He wants to say that that's also what tosis means, tosis and brachas and dafi bezim and aleph, is commenting on a sugya which is kind of misleading. The Gemara there has a whole discussion about somebody who wants to drink wine, and he thinks it's beer, so he starts off making a shahakol, and then he switches in the middle to a bar paragafen. So do we follow his initial intent or his closing intent? And then we've shown him, have a lot of back and forth about this. If you follow it through halacha l'maaseh, you see the sugya has very little impact halacha l'maaseh, even though it seems to be very impactful. But at the initial stages of discussion, so the we've shown him talk about, why should this make a difference? Do we say mitzvah srichas kavana? Is that the case here? So there also, but Warman suggests that maybe a bracha is not a mitzvah chiyuvis because you don't have to eat. You don't have to be eating this. So therefore, maybe when it comes to a bracha, so we wouldn't say stam malishma. So also interesting. Yeah, that's the case. That's the case the Rambam has. So, another point that's raised as far as contributing to this atmosphere of stamul lishma or presumption of some type of inherent lishma is that even though the Gemara uses the word misasik, Rashi explains the word misasik when talking about doing the shofar without kavana, and misasik we normally use for doing an action you don't really know what you're doing. Still, there's misasik and there's misasik. There's different types of misasik. You can not realize that you are fulfilling a mitzvah of blowing shofar. or you could not even have any clue what's going on b'chlal. And some Rishonim have an attitude, and the Bir Halacha talks about this possibility, that maybe even if we say that you can be Yotzei Matzah without Kavanah, that means if you know that it's Pesach. Or you can be Yotzei Shofar without Kavanah if you know that it's Rosh Hashanah. But if you have no clue it's Pesach, you've never heard of Rosh Hashanah, you don't know b'chlal, there's any type of mitzvah potential right now. So then, there are some opinions that then mitzvah tzrichas kavanah according to everybody, then you have to have at least that awareness. So it could be that this is also going to this point, that maybe to create this presumption of lishma, or presumption of kavanah, you have to have a certain setup. It can't come out of nowhere, it's got to be a certain amount that's there already. If there's not much no awareness of what's going on b'chlal, then maybe we are in less of a position to say that.
So according to that case, the person that wasn't having kavanah, they knows it's Rosh Hashanah, but doesn't know there's a mitzvah, or knows that would be what the case would be.
Yeah, the case was you're blowing right now was not blowing l'shem mitzvah.
Do you know that there's a mitzvah for shofar? You're just blowing out.
I think you know there's a mitzvah, but that was not your intent when you did this. I think that's what he means. Right, when it comes to tefillah, there's an additional level of kavanah. That's a whole different topic. The first Reb Chaim in Hilchos Tefillah gets into that whole discussion of different types of kavanah. It's mitzvah and kavanah. So let's talk for a second now about the different levels of awareness. Maybe you bring that up. So an issue that kind of complicates things a little bit, something that Techemet talks about, and Rishonim already raised this issue. Let's say again, if you say mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavanah, working again off that presumption. So does that mean even l'chadchila that just forget about kavanah? It's not important at all. Or does that mean that no, but b'di'eved you can fulfill a mitzvah without kavanah? But l'chadchila we're certainly going to ask you for kavanah. So many feel that this is a b'di'eved dikadin. That's how Rabbi Yonah sounds like in Brachos also, that it's only b'di'eved. That you can be Yotzei without Kavanah, but not that the L'chachil is no need of Kavanah. But on the other hand, as Achronim point out, the Rif paskins mitzvah srichas Kavanah, and his Raya, the mitzvah srichas Kavanah, is the Gemara about Reb Zeira. The Reb Zeira told his attendant to be motzi him with shofar and told him to have Kavanah. So, you told him to have Kavanah, so you see mitzvah srichas Kavanah. So, Achronim point out, it seems to suggest that if you say mitzvah ein tzrichas kavanah, he wouldn't even have bothered to mention it. It wouldn't even have been a l'chadchila. So that maybe the position of ein tzrichas kavanah is that even l'chadchila you don't need kavanah. But that's a little bit harder to say. And many assume that you do l'chadchila recommend kavanah. The Dvar Yeshua in his Tshuva has a whole discussion where he quotes Ramban and others that there's different levels. That even if we say that mitzvahs don't need whatever we talk about when we talk about Kavanah's mitzvah, so l'chadchila, he says, there's another level of Kavanah to talk about, and he quotes Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvahs, that lo'avdo b'chol levavchem, so the Ramban there comments, the Rambam says in that mitzvah, that the Ramban is commenting, the Rambam understands that to be the mitzvah of tefillah. It says the mitzvah in the Torah of tefillah, and the other Rishonim will disagree with the Rambam, says there isn't a mitzvah the rice of tefillah, and the Ramban commenting on that, he says, that pasuk that we should service, we should worship God with all of our hearts, that means that we should have a high level of awareness of what we're doing, and that we really believe in the mitzvah, and it's not just something that we're doing to hedge our bets, and it's not just something that we're going to try out, but that we have a high level of awareness. So he feels that l'chadchila is certainly even this higher level of awareness we're going to ask for, and that even the Rambam is arguing on, would agree that that's there as well. Right, so this would be a different position for sure. Hi. Gemara isn't the same sugya in Rosh Hashanah. Chafchas, I mean, old sugya. You also find that the Shulchan Aruch quotes both days, Shulchan Aruch in Samach and Aruch Chaim, and but says the halacha is that you do need kavana. So then the shaila is again, many of us are doing mitzvahs without focusing on kavana. So the Chai Adam right there, similar to what we saw before, that this din doesn't really apply if the situation makes it clear that there is kavanah, or makes it clear that it's l'shem mitzvah, and that the only time we really need kavanah is when the situation doesn't make it so obvious, which again is similar to positions that we've seen before. But the Mishnah Berurah takes the view that that's only b'di'evad. That b'di'evad, you could rely on that notion that if the situation proves it or indicates it, then kavanah is not. Now, tzar b'lechavchilu, you have to actually have kavanah. So what is this notion then, if we say mitzvahs don't need kavanah, if that was the position, and it means that mitzvahs don't really need kavanah at all, so then, does that work at all to say that b'chachila, you should have kavanah? How do these concepts work together? So, how do these concepts, basically, what is going on here? If mitzvahs don't really need kavanah, so then why b'chachila would we need kavanah at all? So there is an interesting comment that the Bachanan Wasserman has in the Kovod Ta'aris to Yevamos. In the Kovod Ta'aris to Yevamos, the Bachanan is talking about the din of Abishal. The din of Abishal is that really the reason that we don't do Yibum B'zman Hazeh, because of Abishal, the Abishal was worried that if somebody would perform Yibum without the proper intent, so then that would be Mamish Erva. That would be completely unjustifiable. So there, Bachanan has a discussion about mitzvah shrichas kavana and the proper intent of mitzvahs in general. And he suggests there that the notion that mitzvahs ain't shrichas kavana means that a mitzvah can be performed without your really being involved. That if you do the action of a mitzvah, then the mitzvah gets done. But you don't have a kiyum ha-mitzvah. That in order for you to have a kiyum ha-mitzvah, you have to actually connect with it and you have to intend to do it. So the idea of mitzvahs Ein Tzrichas Kavana only means that the mitzvah can get fulfilled without your involvement. And then once it's fulfilled already, so there's no point in your doing it again. But you really lost out. You really missed out on something pretty big. And you have an action of a mitzvah, but you don't have the real Kiyum HaMitzvah. So certainly he's taking a very extreme view of the pro-Lachachila Kavana idea. He's saying that you really would want to make sure to have Kavana because otherwise you're not really being the siyachis, the mitzvah at all. It's just that the responsibility will be fulfilled even without kavanah. And then once the responsibility is fulfilled, you're off the hook, but you don't really have the kiyum ha-mitzvah. And he says, that's what Abishal was telling you, that if you didn't have the proper kavanah for yibum, so the mitzvah could get done, but you don't have the kiyum ha-mitzvah. And then the issue is, how does the essay dochalosa say work there? What is it that's pushing away the erva? Are you able to push away the erva with just this passive fulfillment of the mitzvah, or do you need an active kiyum ha-mitzvah? Abishal was indicating that maybe without the kiyum ha-mitzvah, you don't really lose the erva, you still have the erva, and that's what he was worried about, that kavanah may hurt you in that way, and that would be a serious issue. And just to finish the point, so there are Rishon who say like this also, there is a Meiri, that latest Farim quote, the community seems to take a kind of flabbergasting kind of view, a really really harsh view about this whole point, where he says that even if you say mitzvah ain't shrichas kavana, that that's only b'di'evad, and that when you do it without kavana, you're not getting any schar for it. Which again, this is a chiddush to most of us, we didn't really assume in such extreme terms, but Rabbi Chanan and Miri basically working off this presumption that even mitzvah ain't shrichas kavana is not such a break, this means the mitzvah could get done without you, but you're really losing out in a very major way. That the mitzvah ain't tzrichas kavana means the mitzvah could get done without you. That if you do a mitzvah without kavana, the mitzvah is accomplished. That it means that the responsibility is taken care of. But you don't have the kiyum ha-mitzvah. That's a... Right. So while the Meiri talks about schar, he talks about the kiyum, whatever that means. But it's a pretty sweeping chiddush. Hi. Well, that's what we're concerned about. We're concerned about something like this.
Well, I mean, for that thing, according to Rav Elchanan's understanding, if someone would go ahead and be miyabed, would be over there, or just not be in the time?
Also, that gets into a larger question in general, if Chazal or Mevatel mitzvahs, what happens to them, or is that really what's going on here? That's a whole different discussion. But there is a view also that in Poskim have, Moharom quotes this, and others have this also, Bar Yeshua has a couple of long discussions about this, that maybe we say you don't need Kavanah for sure, according to everybody, with mitzvahs that are more about accomplishing something, like Tevilah, or like, not Tevilah, Tevilah, with a mikvah, or with a test and a base, or Tztaka, which are more about the results. So it could be that everyone agrees you don't need kavanah, and there it seems to flow from this type of thinking also, that the deed gets done either way. The only question is as far as your kiyum hamitzvah, if that's a focus, that you need to have a kiyum hamitzvah, so that's what you need kavana for. So there is a very nice sefer, which I highly recommend, called Iyunim Bahalacha. It's written by Shlomo Zalman Shmaya. Writes very nicely. So he comments on this point, that this view helps us to understand the notion of saying that there's lachachila by the lachachila to have kavana. Besides the fact that it tells why lachachila won't have kavana, but also the very fact that there could be a lachachila, because again, this is something we've also discussed in the past, that many Rishonim take a view that by dinim d'oraisa, there's no such thing as lachachila and b'di'evit. So lachachila and b'di'evit is only a concept for d'rabbanans, and that dinim and atar are basically all or nothing. And if and there isn't such a distinction to be made. So then the question is, if we were dealing with mitzvahs d'oraisa here, and it's, let's presume with the Gemara of Rambam, they're only talking about mitzvahs d'oraisa, so how could we have a lachachila to have kavana if there's no lachachila by d'oraisa? So based on this yisod, it's not such a problem. That the mitzvah itself, the rules of the mitzvah, are black and white. There is no lachachila in b'di'evit. The mitzvah doesn't need kavana at all. But for you to get credit for the mitzvah, for you to have your shaykhis the mitzvah, so that's not a din in the mitzvah, that's a din in you. So for you to be able to have your credit, so then you need kavana. But the mitzvah itself, it's not like if you leave out the, you know, the mitzvah itself has things that are good but not necessary. The mitzvah itself has absolutes, but as far as your shaykhis and your kima mitzvah, that that has absolutes. Maybe. It's a whole problem.
That's a yeah.
Right. That's a big if. But also, but even the Kriya Shema, even to say it's Chachal B'Di'evid, so even if there's a lot of complexities there, because no one thinks of Chachal B'Di'evid in Kriya Shema Min HaTorah. No one takes that opinion. Right. Right. The B'Di'evid would be that you're not following the Dindu Rabbanan. But no one says that the Torah says the Kriya Shema this way, but even better that way. That for sure the Torah doesn't say. Okay. In general, we're going to wrap this up soon. We should be brief tonight. But in general, I'll just point out that, as I alluded to earlier, and it's just worth emphasizing, that the connection between Stama Lishma and Mr. Shrikas Kavana is not at all an absolute one. It's one that's suggested in many Achronim, but it's one that takes a little bit of a leap. That, again, Stama Lishma is a concept we find by Kachim, and it's something we find by Lishma. Lishma and Kavana are not exactly the same thing. And Baruch Be'er has an essay about this in the Brech Gishmul and Gittin, and Simon Yud, in which he states quite clearly these are two separate things that have different different Gedarim, Baruch Be'er. That when we talk about Lishma, we're talking about a Korban or a Get, or a Sefer Torah, or something like that, we have to make something, make a religious object. So that object has to be done under certain conditions, and Lishma are the conditions for making it. While, sorry? I don't know, he doesn't use that terminology, it's not exactly the same thing. But you have a, you try to make an object, you're trying to make a certain scenario, usually an object, for a certain religious function, it needs to be done Lishma, it needs to have that setting in order to be created with that definition. But Kavana is referring to an individual, how an individual does something, how an individual performs an action. And they're working in different realms, and they may have different applications. So whether or not this terminology really is appropriate here, and whether or not it's perhaps being confused, deserves, it should be emphasized a little bit, that they may be different. But part of that potential confusion or mixture may also relate to one last issue that we'll mention. The question in general, when we talk about, if we presume you do need kavana for a mitzvah, so does that mean you're going to have the kavana throughout? Or does that mean that if you have kavana at the beginning, so then that's enough for the whole thing? And this is also a topic of another siman in that sefer, Yuna Balaf, again, it's worth taking a look. In the Chelik Beis and Siman Zion, previously it was Siman Vav. So here, this is something Achronim argued on. That Reb Chaim in Hilchos Tevila felt that we have to have kavana for mitzvah, we have to have kavana throughout the entire mitzvah, you have to have kavana the whole time. While Rabbi Shlomo Zalman in the first Tshuva in the Mincha Shlomo says it's enough to have kavana at the beginning, and that sets the stage. Now, first of all, that whole notion that it sets the stage helps if we're taking a Lishma type of perspective in general, like we've mentioned before. But besides that, it also goes to the question of how much are we comparing the structure for Lishma and creations of Lishma to mitzvahs and kavana. How much are we assuming they're the same thing? When it comes to Lishma and Korbanos, for example, so the Gemara has an expression that kola osa el das rishon hu, so whatever you do, you are working off the presumption that you started with. You started with a certain mindset, so then you can presume that from then on that mindset is in effect. So if we're going to create some relationship between Lishma and Kavanah, assume them to be related terms, so then you can maybe carry this over to mitzvahs and say also, kola osa das rishon hu, that when you start a mitzvah with a certain Kavanah, that Kavanah carries through. But if we're not using this terminology, then maybe it's not a fair presumption, and that maybe we have no right to assume that there is such a system in effect when it comes to mitzvahs. And that seems to be where Reb Chaim's hesitation was, that he felt that, okay, Osa Al-Das Rishonah, that's a concept in Kachim, but we have no indication that this is something that we should apply to mitzvahs as a whole. I'll also mention one last point about that the Rambam issue. If I remember correctly, I haven't seen it in a long time, but I think in the Sefer Kavod HaRav, Sefer that was put out during the Rav's lifetime with a lot of interesting articles by prominent Rashi Yeshivas. There's an article there by Rav Ruderman, if I'm remembering correctly, about this topic, a short piece in which he discusses this this Rambam Sfira. And there he mentioned something which it could very likely be, with the words, that the Rambam, when he's talking about shofar, he's not talking about Kavanas mitzvah. He's talking about since one person wants to be motzi the other person, or you want to be yotze with somebody else, so we need something that's going to create a link between the two of them. So it's the kavana that's creating the link between the two, so that the listener can be yotze the mitzvah through the one blowing the shofar. It doesn't necessarily make a statement about the kavana that one has to have to be yotze mitzvahs in general. And so therefore, to say there's necessarily a stira, like the Magen Mishnah and the Kesef Mishnah and the Nosek Halim felt in general, there's a stira between the Rambam's comment about matzah and the Rambam's comment about shofar. One could very plausibly say that this is a different scenario we're talking about, that as far as mitzvahs, the Rambam paskins, that in tzrichas kavanah, you can be yotzeh mitzvah without kavanah, so you can eat matzah without kavanah and be yotzeh. But when it comes to creating a relationship that I'm the ultimate yotzeh shofar with your blowing the shofar, so how did that relationship get there? So the kavanah, shemei and mashmi, is necessary in order to create that kavanah. I said a lot more one could say about this topic, but that's just an overview of some of the key points. So just to quickly review those main points, so we discussed that the question of mitzvah serious kavanah or not is presented to us as a machlokas in the Gemara. A number of examples, the prominent ones are the example of being forced to eat matzah or blowing a shofar for musical purposes, and the Rambam seems to split the psat, because the Rambam paskins that you can be yotze matzah without kavana, but that if you want to be mostly somebody in shofar, you have to have kavana. We discussed the question of whether this requirement for kavana is drabbana or not. It seems like it's not an issue drabbana, but it's a more central issue. And then we posed the question, if you assume mitzvahs don't need kavana, is that to say that really mitzvahs don't need kavana, or they do need kavana, but kavana is presumed, and that the concept of stumble lishma that we find by Kachin is valuable here as well, as the Nod of Yehuda assumed, and that was why the Nod of Yehuda opposed the Hasidic practice of L'shem Yuchud, and he felt that it contradicted the central notion that we have in mitzvahs. So we discussed the one issue that seems very much to be relevant to this, is the question of Kavana Hafachis, to have Kavana Lo Latzeis, you have negative Kavana. This is a topic many Rishonim believed in, some Rishonim didn't, and that could go to the question of whether Stamma Lishma type of logic is at play here. And we discussed this briefly, the Tori Evans question from the Gemara and Erevin about Tfilin, and Rishnimbuch's discussion about that. And then we talked about Stamma Lishma itself. Is that a presumption in the situation? The situation contains the elements for Lishma, and when it's not disturbed, we assume that to be the case, or is it that the individual who's going through this process can be presumed to be doing that Lishma? And we said, if we take the first view, so it might make sense to be machalik between deraisas and derabbanans and say that deraisas don't need you to give kavanah because the kavanah is there, while derabbanans do. But then we mentioned that the opposite is the much more prevalent view that you find. It's much more well known that the Magen Avraham quotes the Rabbaz saying the chilik the other way, but we did mention the Steichem who does quote a much more obscure opinion, the way we said it, that deraisas don't need kavanah and derabbanans do. And the other view, that if you say it has to do with the individual going through a procedure, presumption is he's doing it lishma or doing it with kavana, so that could be relevant to the chiluk that Achronim have that's suggested by the Gemara already, that if you're doing a maisa, maybe you don't need kavana, but just a statement or something like that does need kavana. And then we mentioned Rabbi Warman's distinction between a mitzvah chiyuvis and a mitzvah chiyumis, and how he used that to be mechalik between the shofar situation and the mat situation, and also to not apply mitzvah shirchas kavana or mitzvah ein shirchas kavana to brachos. And then we talked about misasik and how there's different levels of misasik. You can be misasik, even the Gemara calls not having kavana misasik, but there's also an even lower level of misasik where you have no clue. And the notion that that might be too far gone might have something to say about how we're creating a scenario where there's a presumed kavana. And then we discussed the question, if you don't need kavana, do we say that l'chachili you do need kavana, and that many Rishon felt you do, and there were some that thought otherwise. We discussed the notion of leaving an extra level of kavana l'chachila that the Ramban has about Avodas Halev. And it's got the fact that Shulchan Aruch, after bringing both days, seems to pass when you do need kavana, but the Chayyadim says it's only if the circumstances don't push you that way already, and Mishnah Berurah says that's only the evidence of chila, you need real kavana. And then we discussed Rabbi Chanan's chiluk, or Rabbi Chanan's explanation in the Kavit Ha'aris, that in discussing Abishol's position about Yibam, where Rabbi Chanan puts forward that mitzvah ain't shrichas kavana is really a much more depressing concept than we thought, that it means the mitzvah can get along without you, but you don't have any relationship to it, you don't have a kima mitzvah. And the Meiri seems like this also, that even if mitzvahs don't need kavana, so still that's all b'dieved, and you don't have any schar for it, it's really a pretty lousy deal. And that could be consistent with the view of those achronim who felt that a mitzvah that is goal-oriented, then that for sure doesn't need kavana, it's only your relationship and your kima mitzvah that needs kavana. And how the Iram Bahalacha used this to explain how we could have a lechachila by what's a din d'araisa, how could we have a lechachila by d'araisa, because it's not a din in the kima mitzvah, it's a din in you. And then we discussed that achronim, such as Rabbi Baruch Be'er and others, did take pains to distinguish between the terminology of lishma and the terminology of kavana. Lishma is about creating objects of mitzvah, while kavana is a condition in the action a person does, l'shem mitzvah, and it may not be appropriate to mix the terminology. On the other hand, others clearly felt that it was appropriate to mix the terminology. And one possible ramification of this might be the separate topic that Achronim debated, that if you start a mitzvah with kavana, is that enough? Reb Chaim felt it wasn't enough, you have to have kavana the whole time, and Reb Shlomo Zalman felt that it was enough, and so that might be, again, the question, how much do we borrow from Kutchin? Do we take this notion of Kalosa al-Dash Shoshona Huosa, which is said in the context of Kutchin Lushma, and apply that to mitzvahs as a whole, or do we say, no, this is a very big difference between what we mean when we talk about kavana and what we mean when we talk about lishma? And then we just mentioned, as a kind of a footnote, Rav Ruderman's essay in the Sefer Kol HaRav, in which he took on the Rambam stira, and he suggested that the issue is not whether mitzvah shrichas kavana, so the Rambam seems to paskin by matz mitzvah saying shrichas kavana. It's just in the context of shofar that as far as a mitzvah through somebody else is concerned, that you want to be motzi someone else in shofar, so then that's going to need some type of kavana in order to create their relationship. Okay, so Bez Hashem, we'll pick up another topic next week, and should have a wonderful week.